that music. Good evening. You're listening to Urban Conversation, and this is your host, Miguel Marie. I'm also joined by my always amazing co-host, Manuel Hill in the ATL. Are you there?
I absolutely am here.
And I'm so happy you were actually on time. You
You actually, twice. I kind of left you hanging just a tad bit, you know.
Right, but you were, just so you guys know, he was actually in the call, I think, what, like 2 minutes before? Maybe, I don't want to give you, maybe a minute before.
Damn. Yeah, absolutely. I was on it today. I wasn't going to get called out this time around.
Well, how are you tonight? We just, everyone celebrated Mother's Day on last Sunday, which is why we were not on the air. How was your Mother's Day? I know you treated all of the moms in your life like queens.
Oh, absolutely. It was good. It's always, one of those things where it's more of an honor for us. It's, I got, obviously, my mom, grandma, the mothers of my children, friends and family and everything. Like it, and I make it very personal. I don't do a lot of, Facebook shout outs. I pick up the phone. I'll send an email. I'll actually, I don't do the chain texting. It takes me a while to get messages out because I have to, find everybody individually and give them my heart this week.
Oh, well, that's good. I don't think I got a happy Mother's Day for me, did I? I'm just messing with you. Stop. I'm messing with you. What? No love. I'm trying to remember. Did you inbox me a message? I have to check because I know.
You have to scroll through. If I didn't, I'm going to need to be punished.
I think you might have, but I'm gonna check because I don't want people. Yeah, I don't want to put that out there, and that's not true. So you guys, I'm gonna double check on that. I think you did though. So we'll leave it there. But I will double check. I actually was in San Diego last weekend, so I got to be with my mom and my son and family, some of my family, on Mother's Day. So that was really cool that I got to see my womb when I went back. So anyway, and to all of those moms out there, since we didn't get to give you guys a shout out on last Sunday, hope you had a wonderful Mother's Day to all the moms, whether you gave birth or whether you're spiritual mothers to people, whoever you are, hope you had a great one. So anyway.
Absolutely. I do have to give a brief shout out. She might not be listening, but my sister, my oldest sister, one of my fondest memories, and she wasn't a mom at the time, obviously, but she had some mommy roles. I remember her getting cussed out because her younger brothers, me and my two other brothers, didn't have creases in their pants to go to school in the morning. And so my mom would pretty much make her responsible for those types of things, iron our clothes, making sure we got our rooms together. All that stuff is in preparation of motherhood, whether, and I have to say, maybe moms are taking a break, but that those are the things that groom women into mothers and caretakers, when they have younger siblings that they're taking care of and their responsibility is so on. So I got to give her a shout out because I definitely remember her looking at us funny when she had to iron our pants and our clothes to get
us
food.
And what's her name?
Cessna Houston.
Okay, well, definitely shout out to you. You're awesome. We love you. Thank you. Thank you for picking up the slack. I'm the youngest of five, but I'm sure my eldest sister, Gwen, she can relate to that because, when you're the oldest sibling, you definitely get some of that falling on you. So, to all those awesome, mother figures out there as well. And, before I forget, I know a lot of people have moms that have passed. I saw, a few people posting that, and my mother, you know, she lost her mom. It's, my grandmother's been deceased for some years, but it's still hard for her at times. So I wanted to recognize those that have lost their moms. Hopefully you guys made it through and still feel the love and connection and so forth. So anyway, really, really quickly, I want to touch on a couple of things before we get into our topic. And this is
all right.
This is probably going to be a two-parter. I'm not sure because I have a few of these to get through. But I don't know if you've seen, Manuel, there is a video that is trending right now, and it's getting mixed emotions and kind of mixed feelings about it. But it's a teacher, and these kids are fighting in the classroom, and he, for him, in order for him to break up the fight, he went old school, took off his belt, and started whipping them with the belt. I don't know if you saw this video. If you haven't seen it, I'm going to have to find it and tag you. But
first of all, let me tell you, I'm old school. Okay. I promise you, girl, I'm old school. So all I would say is that well, first, I want you to finish your thought before I go in on this particular topic, but yeah, finish your thought first, because, boy.
I'm just putting it out there, and I see people are calling in and listening, so I don't know if some of you guys are trying to ask questions that you just call in and listening, but if you guys have seen this video and somebody has access to it, let us know, because I definitely want you to see this first, Manuel, but I'll try to describe it as best I can. To me, it's kind of funny because some of the kids were laughing in the video, for one. So he really wasn't, I don't think he was hurting anybody. He seemed like he was a little bit up there in age as a black man, kind of remind me of a grandfather type. And these kids were just, you know, being little beasts, fighting all on the floor, knocking over the desk. Mm-hmm. And he took off his belt, and he, you know, proceeded to whip them. Now, I wouldn't say beat, because it didn't seem like he had that much strength in the swing. So, okay. You know what I mean? He didn't, you know, it didn't seem like he lost control. Now, it was a little funny to me, but as a parent, I'm going to say that if that had happened to my child, you know, I don't know.
I'm gonna tell you, okay. First of all, I do still believe to this day it takes a village.
It does.
And let me explain that. I mean, you understand the concept. I don't necessarily have to explain it. But when in Texas, corporal punishment was still in play in the early '80s when I went to elementary school. So I wasn't really a crazy kid in elementary school, but one of my brothers was, and he got regular spankings with a paddle when he went to the principal's office, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember my grandfather having to be called up to the school one time, and one of my brothers had done something. And as a parent back then, you could spank your child in front of the class. You can take them out of the class and go spank them. In Texas back then, I think Texas, you know, they're usually a little slower when it comes mm-hmm. to filing reforming, so corporal punishment was still real. So,
right.
And the dynamic to me is that I think they still embody the fact that it took a village, that you're dealing with adults, that you're dealing with. Now, I know there's a lot of things that have happened over the years, teachers in public school and in private school and religious school and everything else, they went too far. But there's a level of respect that children just have to have. Now, if I see children fighting, am I going to lay hands? I'm probably not. I mean, you can break kids up. However, though, there's a thing now that I recently heard. I'm not sure on this. Teachers can get in trouble for even just breaking up a fight.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
when you break up a fight, you have to get physically involved. Now, mm-hmm. I'm going to say one thing. There's no way I can witness a child being overwhelmed by another child to the point where the physical damage is going, like what we call them, the hood, is you're going to shoot me a fair one. We go one-on-one, we fight, and then at the end of it, whoever lost, you go yourself, raise, you shake hands, it is what it is. But kids are
right.
jumping, they're bullied.
Yeah.
It's just so overwhelming. So I know me as a human, I couldn't witness that. As a teacher, I would be compromised because I couldn't witness that, some child being overwhelmed. So now I'm not going to take my belt off and go that far. No, I'm not going to do the theatrics. However, if it's a boy fighting a girl, I might lose the moment. And that in that particular moment, I might get put on the charges.
It's a fine line, and the school systems in so many states across our country are just jacked up and ridiculous. The kids, you know, they're on a whole different level. You know, I mean, kids are, you know, like you said, they're jumping each other. They're posting this crap online and really, I mean, being just downright brutal. So it's a hard call. Then you have parents that, oh, don't touch my kid. Don't do this, don't do that. But then it's your kid who's in there beating up on, you know, bullying some other child. So I couldn't be a teacher because I would have lost the job and
exactly. I've made my children aware. I've said, listen, don't ever let me find out that you guys are bullying, because that'll be worse for me than you actually getting bullied. And my oldest daughter, she's aware, and I said, hey baby, look, I don't, because she has a bit of a smart mouth, you know, she's flicking in the mouth. But I said, babe, you know, you see some girls walking towards you, the minute you see somebody look like they're recording on a cell phone, I need you to go the other direction. I don't need my baby on World Star. Because if my baby's on World Star, the next morning, two parents are going to be on World Star. Me and her mom are going to show up at the bus stop or wherever. And we're trying to get her. That's not
true.
Y'all going like,
to set it off, right?
Mom. Yeah, like, it's going to be bad. It's going to be
I've been there, and definitely for my son, I could definitely catch a case. So that's that's normal, and that's why even the parents of these, you know, beastly acting kids, you know, don't want anybody touching their child because, you know, it's their child. So, you know, pretty much parents are parents. So, but I'm definitely gonna find that video and. I never post those type of videos because it's awful. But this particular one, I'll post it since we're talking about it. And if you haven't joined our open forum page, like I say every Sunday, make sure you do. It's Urban Conversation Radio. And you'll be able to chime in on what your opinion is about this particular video, because I want to follow up. I'm not sure if this guy, if he lost his job or if he was reprimanded or what. So, but one more thing before we get on the topic for tonight, a quick one. We didn't get to talk about this, and it's still trending, actually. Back in April, I think towards the end of April, Bruce Jenner did his infamous interview. And for those of you who don't know Bruce Jenner, I'm not sure what rock you've been living under. He is an Olympic champion, an icon. I've always loved Bruce Jenner just as a child and seeing what he accomplished and so forth. But homie, I don't want to offend anybody. But as you know, this we don't censor this, and I can say what I feel. It's my opinions. You don't have to agree with it. So. Basically, Bruce Jenner has come out and he has said that he's transgender. And I'm still speechless. Before I give it to you, because I didn't watch the full interview. I didn't watch all of it. I did watch clips of it. And here's one of the clips that kind of got me a little like, huh? She asked him, so do you feel gay? What, you know, and he said, you know, he still was attracted to women and he's heterosexual. Mm-hmm. And then he side pedaled and he said something. He didn't say, it wasn't bisexual, it was something. I think he made it up. I'm not sure, but kind of laughed it off. And so my thing is, I was a little confused by that because I don't want the transgender.
And it's funny that
I want the transgender community to come at me because I'm just saying this is not one of my areas. I don't understand because I was thinking that, okay, if he, so technically, wouldn't he consider himself a lesbian if he says he identifies with being a woman, and then he, but he's saying he still wants women, but yet he
Attracted to
feels like
women,
he is a woman. So
identify as a
that's
woman,
not heterosexual. Heterosexual is a male and female. So I was confused by
exactly.
that.
This okay, and this is the one thing, and I'll preface my idea, my ideology, or my opinion on the matter with one thing. Struggle is struggle. Internal struggle is internal struggle. Whether it's by birth or whether it's by nature or nurture. When you struggle with something internally or identifying with something internally, you can't because like I can't as one person because I don't identify with that individual struggle, judge that struggle as not valid because I can't I can't I'm not
No, you
subjective to that
can't.
person's
We
struggle,
can't.
so
Yeah.
I simply don't know. But so what did I watched the interview, and when I was younger in my teens and early 20s, you know, anything gay, transgender-ish, I was just, oh my God, it's disgusting, it's terrible, what's wrong with these people, abomination, blah, blah, blah. Fine. But as I've grown and become a little bit more mature and a little bit more aware, you can't tell people how they feel, what's innate, what they feel inside. I can't judge that because I can't see that. And so who can identify that with them? So when he came to the point and he told Diane Sawyer that gender identification and sexual identification are two totally different things. Who you're
Right.
attracted to sexually and who you feel like you are based on gender are two totally different things. So he identifies as a woman, but he finds himself attracted to women. So based on your logic,
So
he must technically be a lesbian. Like, he
yeah,
would
that's
technically, that would be what he would identify as. But I
Yeah,
think the bigger.
I don't think he would debate it because even when he answered it, he kind of, he switched it up a little bit. So, I mean, and my thing is, I was kind of like, oh, okay, that's, I'm confused, but that's just the word he used. I'm sure he, if he goes through with his reassignment surgery, that he would consider himself a lesbian woman.
Yeah, probably more than likely, yeah.
And so, but a lot of people, I think a lot of people, most of us human, we live in a world where every day we are casting judgments. It's human nature. No one is judgment free, although we try to, especially in the church and so forth, we want to, oh, I don't judge, but we do. It's almost a
It's a
natural
natural thing,
breathing.
absolutely.
Yeah, and you do have to, like you said, because we don't know what his struggle is, you do have to catch yourself. And my thing is, I'm not so appalled by people making judgment calls, but when you condemn someone, that's where the issue comes from, because making judgment calls are natural. That's what we do. We have to be able to do that, or you're just kind of floating and have no brain and
Exactly.
no, no conscious center, no moral center. So I wish him the best. I'm a little disappointed, if I was to be honest, because of just who he was to everybody growing up.
Right.
And
He was the icon. He was like the American. If
he's
people,
the he
if young people don't know who he was, Tom Brady before Tom Brady, but on a global scale, he was Tom Brady.
Yeah,
And
yeah. And I
if that's the way
yeah.
to put it in perspective, he was the, you know, he was the white guy, the white knight, blonde, handsome, charismatic, you know, achieved all the physical feats, did everything in America, did it overseas. I mean, he just kind of was the Tom Brady of that era on a global scale. So just
And
imagine that, and then now.
I'm saying it's hard to, it's hard to put him in this place now. So it's kind of like you have to just rewire everything that you thought about him,
Exactly.
not his achievements, but just, I mean, he's gonna be a woman. So anyway, I wish him the best. And I really, I've had the opportunity to talk to people who, lesbian, gay, and who are struggling with it because of the belief systems that they were raised with. So I do know,
Absolutely.
I am aware that it's a heartbreaking process for a lot of people, and I definitely wouldn't condemn anyone, because even though we feel like we know a lot, we don't know everything, and
absolutely.
You know, I'm going to leave that to God, because He's the only one capable of making the correct judgments in these situations. So anyway, tonight we're and for those of you who are listening in, make sure if you want to call in, you have questions, the number to call in is 347-677-0626. And you can also catch us on the Open Forum page and ask questions if you have them, and we'll address them right now. But tonight we are talking about what's turning him off, why doesn't he want to commit?
Ooh.
And I have a few. Okay, so there's this article that came out, and they broke it down. Now, you are going to give us the male perspective, and I know you can't speak for every. Yeah. I know you can't, you know, we're not saying that this is what every man, but, you know, I think in general, these are probably what a lot of men are feeling. Some of these on this list, though, I was kind of like, oh, really? But I'm going to read, what I'm going to do is that we're not going to be able to go through all of them, but I'm going to read a couple of them to you. This is what this article is addressing, what men don't like in women, and this is what causes them to be turned off and end the relationship or not commit or keep it on a purely, you know, booty call type of scenario. And so you're going to, after I read these to you, you're going to tell us, you're going to tell me and the listeners if there's any validity to these things. So are you ready for your first one?
I'm ready.
Okay, so this one, they said, a woman with no value. Men hate women that don't even know who they are. Most men are sapiosexual and not just about a hot body that you flaunt. If you are looking beautiful and sexy and the words from your mouth is like a full trash can, it is obviously not worth it. Be beautiful and brilliant. Is that true?
That is very true. We won't commit to someone who is just a shell. Because it's two types of men that are going to be out there. I mean, you got the man who, and I don't mean to throw somebody under the bus, but some of us need to be mommied, babied, or whatever, you know. And so you need a woman that's brilliant, strong, and shows more. Or you need a woman who's going to lift you up, and she needs to be brilliant and strong. So no matter what the role is that a man is looking for a long-term mate, the woman has to have a level of brilliance and strength. If you're not that, either because you haven't developed into it yet because of maturity or whatever, or because that's just not who you are, you just got dropped on your head at some point. All you can really, all you can really be is a toy. Because you have
Hold on. I don't want to interrupt you, but this is funny because I got an inbox question that says, but what about all the thoughts? Is it thoughts? What is thoughts?
Oh, God. Yeah, that's
the
thoughts.
That
thought.
Okay, what
that
about
hole over there?
What about all the thoughts that seem to get all the good men and the women who are brilliant don't?
Okay, because what's happened is what some of these women think are thoughts are actually brilliant women who can embody the characteristics of the fun-loving, the fun, carefree, the woman that seems like she's doing the most when she's actually not. Trust me when I tell you,
there are
women out here who they can go to a club with a man, they can go to a strip club with a man, they can go drink with him, they can be his designated driver, they can do all these things, and she looks like she's a wild, fun girl. But on the other side, she has everything intact. All that fun stuff is just her having fun. On the flip side, she's holding him down on those emotional levels. So there are some women who are juggling both roles, and it's not a front. They're just having a good time. But to the onlookers, they're looking at this chick who isn't all stuffy and just stuck up in herself. And they're like, okay, she looks like she's doing the most. She's just living, and men, we see that, and we're like, okay, that's awesome, that's fun. So perhaps to some she looks like a thot, quote unquote, but to those men, she's just a good time girl who also embodies the characteristics of the woman that they're looking for.
So you can look like a thought, but don't think like a thought.
Absolutely. You can look like you just doing the most, and you will be surprised.
I'm gonna encourage the women out there to not look like a thought. I'm not co-signing on that thoughtness.
Because everybody's trying to identify, or everybody's trying to figure out what is it. She looks like she's doing too much, but what if she's really not?
I think the women that have, you know, a level of class are looking at why is it the women that, you know, got they booty and they titties hanging out all over the place seem to get these men who claim they want substance. I guess it's trying to balance out mentally how showing all of your goods to everybody correlates with being a woman of substance. But that's a whole nother topic. We got to move on because for the record, I hate that word thought. Now that you told me again what that means,
Look, because it was so ridiculous that at first I was mad about it, but I'm like, you know what? It's so ridiculous that I'm going to turn around and I'm going to make absolute fun of that crap because it's absolute crap. But it's just funny
crap.
To me. It's ridiculous how many terms you come
crap.
Up with.
And I will not be calling any women that. That ain't right. Because you don't know if a woman is actually a hoe. But you don't really know if somebody's a hoe unless you got a camera in their bed and their genitals. You don't know what people are doing. So anyway, but okay, let's go. Let's go on. Here's another one that they said that men hate: making obscene demands. Men have issues with women that beg. In fact, they hate girls that make very obscene demands. Buy me gold, buy me diamonds, buy me a car, buy me
buy me the moon,
always buying something for you. Be the woman that compliments, not ruins him. Who's doing that? What woman is doing that?
All right. I'm gonna give you guys an example. I was about a year and a half ago. I was a Spelman College, and I do not deal with a certain age group, and it always proves itself as correct to me. But anyway, so I'm at Spelman, and this young lady approaches me, and she's physically attractive. You know, she seems like she got her stuff together, passing me a phone number, and I'm sitting there like, okay, she's young. What am I going to do with this? I'll take the number, and I'll see. So we had a conversation, and I was like, so what do you like to do? You know, let's go out, let's go grab a drink, let's go grab something neat. And this booger said, that's cool. I can't wait till we go to Cheesecake Factory. Now listen.
Okay.
It's not about the dollar or anything like that. But she immediately made it clear that if she was going to go anywhere, that it had to be that place. And that's fine.
Okay,
however,
she's not that high maintenance if the Cheesecake Factory is.
That's a prom, college girl, that's a prom date. And so I'm sitting there looking at her like, really? So what the point is that when a woman puts out that, oh, I need this, oh, I need that, oh, to get, when you put a price on yourself, men automatically in our heads, we're like, okay, it's purchasable. The biggest thing that a woman can do is let it be known that I don't care if you take me to the Hot Dog Shack or Copeland or, you know, I don't care where you, it doesn't make a difference to me. We can go wherever, my standards are going to be what they're going to be at the end of the day. And if you're not the right guy, you're not the right guy. Men will have a level of respect for that, and they'll stop trying to impress with their wallet. But when a woman puts it out there that I need this, that, and third, they make it appear as if they're going to be bought. So you're going to attract that male. You're going to attract the type of male that will buy you, and that can result in something that a woman doesn't want. So, of course, most men aren't trying to buy a woman. So when that comes out, we're turned off. You know,
So you guys don't like that? Okay.
Absolutely not.
That's crazy. Unless
that's what they're looking for. If you get a sugar daddy, then that's fine. Like, the sugar daddies love that.
Well, yeah, but he's probably...
Like, you ever have a sugar daddy?
He's going to be like, no, I've never...
Never?
Yeah. Are you crazy?
Wait, hold on. Okay, so you've never... Okay, so there's never been a man...
Let me school you on something, okay? First of all...
School me.
Let's get this cleared up. I was a hustler from a very young age. You know, my son, I was a teen mom. You know, I was working from the age of 16, and I wanted the music industry. I wasn't depending on a man for anything. Wouldn't he be like super old and like, you know? And then when you get really old, it's like stuff starts just hanging like way, way low, like just gross looking naked. Like, well, what are the rules of the sugar daddy? What would I have to do?
This is the thing. So you've never been approached by the guy that says, look, I'll take care of you? Because a lot of times that's what the sugar daddy is. Look, I got you. What do you need? What do you want? What do you need? You know, that's how they approach. Now,
but when I think of a sugar daddy, I'm thinking of, you know, an old man. So,
You ain't tricking if you got it. When you hear a dude say you ain't tricking if you got it, those ain't number young sugar daddies. They lame as hell if you ask me. But
I have never heard that before, Manuel.
Oh, man, we gonna get you schooled up.
It's different lingos. California, nobody's talking like that. So I don't know.
You're right.
It's a different lingo. That's all that it is. But no, I've never been told that by anybody. All right, the next one is nagging. And it says this one has been an enemy to men from ages past. Quit all the talk. If you want him to listen to you, talk to him softly. And make sure he's in a good mood. You don't have to scream before you pass a message across.
Okay. Nobody, men or women, nobody wants a nag. Nobody wants to be met at the door with this is a problem, that is a problem, fix this, fix that, you know, unpleasant complaints. No human likes criticism. Period. Point blank. Nobody likes criticism. But so with the nagging, okay, for example, if a woman, and you know this, if a woman wants a man to be, the old saying, it's easy to get a bee with honey instead of vinegar. Like, if you, babe, oh my God, babe, how are you doing today? Oh, you look so tired. You look so overwhelmed. You had a long day? Let me take those shoes. Babe, oh, you look so tired. I'm not going to even tell you about how crazy my day was because, oh, my God, your day looks so much like it was just worse. So the man is sitting there like, oh, she already acknowledged my day.
Right.
Babe, my day wasn't that bad. You sound like your day was worse than mine. And all you could have did was nicked your finger putting up some pictures on the wall. But the fact that you acknowledged him, but that's human nature. That goes both ways. So nobody likes nagging. So, yeah, I mean, any complaining. I mean, a man walks through the door, and I know women. I'm trained. I know. I always say trained, but technically I am. Grandmother and everything else. you don't walk through the door with your boots into the, you know, kitchen and living room and muddying up the carpet or the tile or whatever. But
right.
a hardworking man doesn't want to come through the door hearing about walking through the door with his boots.
However, right.
it's all about the presentation. So, yeah, the nagging is a big deal. But in this day and age, I think it goes both ways. Nobody wants to deal with a nagger. And it's even worse for men to be nagging. Like, really? We get the pee staring
at us,
so we can't
complain about much. But don't even worry about addressing the women, because women, ladies, those of you who are listening, do not fear. Next Sunday is all about what we don't like that y'all be doing. So don't even worry about it. We're gonna address that next Sunday. We're gonna focus on the
men. But that is accurate though. That is accurate. A person who seems to be just nagging, they always mm-hmm. have something to complain about. They meet you with a complaint. I mean, women, your woman, obviously, friends, coworkers, somebody that's always just complaining. You're like, damn, did you find anything positive throughout the day? Is there anything good going on? Yeah, so that's one of those things that's a big deal breaker. I mean, forget the other two. You can be a thought. You can be a thought, and you can be a gold digger. You can be everything else you want to be in the world. But a nag trumps so many other things. It absolutely does.
Okay, let's not say thought anymore. No more thotting tonight.
we're not thotting around no more. We're going to stop thotting. Okay, we're going.
We're done with that thought. That thought sentence. I hate that word. That's so ridiculous. Okay. So we agree that the, you know what, and I've heard this before, so I know that that's true. Just the approach, you know, it's all in the approach. And men, you know, it's like you guys don't like our voices to go past a certain, you know, octave.
Octave. There you go. Man, you got it.
It's like you guys automatically start to, like, shift into, like, oh, what the, you know, like you, and women, you know, we're just expressive like that. You guys need to relax and, like, listen to the words that are coming out of our mouth.
Okay. I got a question for you. I got a question for you. And this is real quick. I want to give you a scenario, and I want you to tell me how you would go about it, right?
Okay.
You love your man. You love everything about this man. Everything is working. But for mm-hmm. some odd reason, he dresses a certain kind of way, and you just mm-hmm. can't get past it. You just wish he would dress differently. How would mm-hmm. you go about getting him? I will say this. Women, you all have the power to change things about your man. Don't get it twisted. You have that power. But, again, how would you go about getting your man to change something that he's wearing or something in his dress code that you just can't get past? What would you do?
Has he been a mess from day one or what? Did he just... Because if it was from day one, then it wouldn't even. I can't answer that question.
No, not from day one. I would say maybe from day one, but as you guys grew together, it was like, okay, this is getting a little dated, a little old. I need him to get beyond. If you had to change it, how would you go about expressing that change?
That's easy. We would go shopping to the mall, and as I'm shopping, looking at stuff for myself, I'm like, oh, let's go over here to this men's store. And, you know, I'm like, do you like that? I like that, baby. You should try that on. That looks, oh, my God, that looks good. I am so turned on with you wearing that,
there
baby.
There you go.
You ought to get that.
You ended it right there. Don't say any more. I have coached women into changing their man dress code by telling them just that. Because look, men, we're stupid. You can go tell him, hey, baby, you look sexy in that. Look at you. Oh, my God, that's such a turn. And next thing you know, he's buying the outfits that you picked out for him, and he's taking credit for it like he made the change himself. Because that's just how men are, you know.
Yeah. That's okay.
But you're not going to tell him, look at you. I got you dressing nice. No. You let him have that. Listen, you got a bra over me. I'm over here.
And then you have to, you got to really, you know, when he is, you know, wearing the stuff that is nice. You got to really let them know. And not, you know, it doesn't always have to be like, you know, come right out and, oh, I like that outfit, because that's not a male language anyway. But if I tell you, you know, you come in and you're looking nice and I want to reaffirm this behavior in you so that you do it more often, I, you know, I'm going to be honest and tell you how aroused I feel when you look like that. Yes, because when women, we're sensual. All of our senses, we're in tune. So our visual, our smell, sound, all of the, that's why women love men when they wear cologne. That's why the tone of a man's voice can get a woman going. We, all of those things, women are just sensual creatures. So we, you know, we're in tune to that. Men are not in tune to all of those senses. They're more just visual. But we, everything, the smell, visual, the sound, all those cues, you know, get us going. So, anyway, okay, here's the next one. Choking his airspace. Some women can cling for Africa. Okay, somebody was trying to be funny. Some women can cling for Africa. They are everywhere with the men, even if it is the toilet. Really? They want to know what he's up to at every moment. They will bug you with calls every second, and when he doesn't pick up because he's busy, they get all teary and start throwing lame accusations at him. Men hate women that tend to be overly obsessive and jealous for no reason. I know, that's got to be true, because I've heard that before. Like, that last part, just, you know, if he doesn't pick up the phone, and then it's suddenly, oh, what are you doing, you know, and all that nonsense.
Yeah.
I still have
saved text messages in my phone from somebody I might have been dating quite a while, because my phone, I don't erase anything, but I remember one time I was dating a young lady, and she was coming in town or going out of town or something. Well, we were supposed to be linking up, and I was asleep. Now, look, when I go to sleep, I go to sleep. I don't get up for my phone. Like, I have a ringtone designated for my children. And if I'm in an actual relationship, you know, my woman is probably going to be there. Or, you know, but if we're dating, or, you know, things are exclusive. However, when a man, if I don't pick up my phone, or if a man doesn't pick up his phone, and then the conclusion that you jump to is, oh, so you must be with that bitch. Excuse my language. I don't know if I can use that, but I've got that text message. Oh, so you must be booed up. Oh, so you must be one of your hoes. Like that. When a woman jumps to that conclusion, as a man.
Oh no.
When a woman jumps to that conclusion, as a man, you like, especially when you're not guilty. You're sitting there scratching your head like, I just woke up. You wake up at whatever time you wake up in the morning. You got 6 missed calls and 3 messages,
wow,
and she's just going off. And you're sitting there like, I would just sleep. For me personally, it's the instant. I'll give you one shot at coming back from that. But the second time, there's no 3 strikes. There's one strike, I let you know, hey, it's not cool, don't do that. Second strike, you're done, because no innocent man likes to be accused. It just, it feels terrible, man. It feels bad. It feels pretty bad. So yeah, we definitely.
I think that speaks to, you know, a lot of issues with the women who are doing that. If your mindset automatically goes to he's cheating when you can't get him on the phone, it's not him, it's you. You have to work that stuff out. It could be because of past, you know, relationships and so forth, which is totally understandable, but you really have to, and hopefully the women that are listening, you know, are paying attention, because a lot of times women are like, oh, I don't get why he's not committing, or I don't get why he's turned off by me. And a lot of women are doing some of the stuff that, you know, we're talking about. And my thing is, you know, you got to train yourself not to chase that dude. Like, If you text him, text once and leave it at that. Like, you know, even if you gotta sit on your hands, don't bombard that man with a bunch of texts and calls, because, you know, either something's went down and he can't get to the phone, he's busy, he's asleep, whatever the case is, you know, don't become that chick who you know, is texting every hour and then going crazy mentally, like, you know, snap out of it. You know, you're worth it. You're beautiful. You don't have to go through that nonsense over some guy, you know. So
because if a guy is doing something, it's going to come out. We're stupid. We're going to get caught. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? You don't even have to. We'll get caught. If we're doing something we're not supposed to be doing, it's going to come up. So, yeah, women, don't.
Yeah.
It's not necessary.
To the women, just don't do that. I love you and I get it. I mean, I've had serious conversations. I know women have done it and why they've done it. And I think probably, you know, at some point in time, we've probably all either been tempted to do that or have, you know, but at the end of the day, you have to say, nah, I'm not going to chase you like that.
If he's shown characteristics, if he's done things in the past that warrant that sort of inquisition, then, hey,
I think it's time to let it go.
or you know what? But sometimes, as a man, if you want that woman to forgive you and get past, you got to be willing to stand in the line of fire. You know, if that's what you want. Okay, so yeah, you screwed up, you did this, but you're like, okay, I did that, I shouldn't have, I can get past it, let's get past it. You got to give her a chance to get past it by, hey, she's going to dig a little deeper than she would have in the past, because there's a process that it takes for a person to get back to that original baseline level of trust. You got to open yourself up to the level of scrutiny if you've already screwed up. You just have to.
Right. But see, we're not, and then, like, for me, you know, especially in those early stages of,
early stages, no, absolutely not.
You know, like, if we're in the early stages and we're, like, liking each other, and then that's, like, when you want to be inundated with contact. Like, that's just natural because your endorphins, all these things are going crazy on the inside of you. If you're not getting that, if this person is not, you know, at least, okay, let me, you know, call and say goodnight, baby, or, you know, send a text or inbox, whatever, and then, you know, send you something in the morning. If I'm not getting that, I, you know, me personally, my interest fades.
It's gonna wane, yeah. I understand that.
Because if I'm not on your mind, you know, then I'm just not gonna feel you. But once you get the relationship established and you guys are together, I mean, you know, people get busy. You can't expect, you know, someone to just drop everything and answer your call if it's not an emergency or so forth. So, but yeah. If he's not responding to your text messages, just, you know, let him go. Stop. Don't respond to him. Just leave it alone. Because he's not thinking about you, if that's the case. That's my opinion.
Absolutely.
Responding to me. You ain't thinking about me.
I agree.
So. All right, here's one. We got time for a couple more. Here's one. Let me see. Dressing badly. This is when I was kind of like, okay, really? Dressing badly. Men hate women that do not know how to dress to fit an occasion. Okay, that makes sense. He wants to flaunt you and show you off to his friends. Don't embarrass him by looking shabby, underdressed, overdressed, or almost naked. Dress to suit the occasion. Is that true, Manuel? Our resident
now,
man.
First of all, if you're dealing with a man that does have some sense of ability or he has an awareness on how to dress on occasion, then, yeah, it's naturally going to bug him. It's going to be a thorn in his side. But men, we have a slight responsibility in this case. You and a woman are going somewhere. Tell her where you're going and kind of give a general idea of what that attire may be. Now, if I tell you we're going, you know, my job, my career, we're having a gala, you know, and so you know that a woman needs to be in a gown, and she shows up in jeans or stretch pants and pumps and a blouse, like, It's like, okay, she didn't.
Okay, if you're messing with a woman, if you're messing with a woman that you say a gala and she shows, first of all, why is she going separately anyway? But it, whatever. But if she shows up in jeans, you need to. That's
exactly.
Crazy.
Like, or if you say, hey, babe, you know, we're gonna go watch the game at XYZ Sports Bar.
Mm-hmm.
She shows up full makeup, dangly earrings, big bag, you know, pumps, and you're like, oh my gosh, she overdressed for this spot. Who's she trying to impress? That could be a little bit much. So everybody wants somebody to dress the part. Now, that's underdressing and overdressing. Now, we're going to talk about just not being able to dress at all. I'm talking about you just look bad, like you look like you got out of bed. You look like you just got out of bed. There's two things to that. Either she's not that into you and she does not care, or she just doesn't know what she's doing. Because
yeah,
you're right.
Some women are not into the male.
Yeah,
but it depends
on the male. Like
some men, we
do want the woman to be to stand out. Now nowadays you have dudes who think they're just as pretty and sexy as women, and they just need to be beat to death. But that's just not accurate. But we do naturally. We want the woman to stand out. We want to just show up. And we want to sit back and be like, yeah, she's shutting it down right now. And especially when you're in a place and she's not, it can kind of throw you off like, okay, she just doesn't have that element. That can be a big turnoff. I wouldn't say it's an ultimate deal breaker, but it's difficult for a man to dress. Men don't have the patience to dress women, whereas women, y'all have more patience than us on just about every level.
Yeah, and I think if a woman, if she's observing this man, so say you're interested in a guy, right? And you've had the opportunity to observe his style and his swagger, and you see how he gets down. You gotta compare that and say, okay, would I look good with him? You know, can I compliment him? You know, and his lifestyle, because you know that could become, you know, a big issue if you have a guy that's in certain industries, you know, and you know they have to dress a certain way, or they do, you know, events and so forth. You got to know that if you're trying to be his woman, you're gonna have to step your game up with that. And a solution is that, you know, if you haven't got to that stage where you're just real solid with each other, if you invite this woman and you say, hey, we're going here, an easy solution is to tell her what you're wearing. You know, so, oh, baby, I'm, you know, tonight I'm wearing my, you know, my black suit and blah, blah, blah. What you wearing, baby? You know, if you know you have a dress challenged woman, that would be, yes, that would be the approach. It's just, baby, I'm wearing this black suit. I'm going to wear this, you know, light blue shirt. What you going to wear, girl? And
I was going
to wear that sundress. No, baby. You know,
what about that black number?
Baby,
I know you got a black number in there. Yeah.
Exactly. Baby, you'd be, ooh, you would look so good wearing a nice, you know, little black dress. And even if she doesn't have it, you've complimented her, so she's going to go out and she's going to get it, and you haven't offended her. Because if you're just like, girl, if you come looking raggy, women are delicate, you know, we don't need, you know, the insults. You know, if you tell us in a certain way, we'll get it, and we'll go above and beyond to make sure that we represent, you know,
absolutely.
If you are dress challenged. That's all I'm saying.
You don't know nothing about being dress challenged. That's why you're giggling about it. You don't got the problem.
You know what? I don't, because, but that's only because, you know, hey, people
got it like that.
No. I put the effort in. That's all, and I enjoy it. And you know, and I have a sister who's into fashion. She went to school. She's an artist, and you know, that's just. I mean, it's not an insult to anybody. That's just how I get down. But everybody doesn't. I'm a stiletto woman. You know, I love, you know, stilettos and
mm-hmm.
wearing that kind of stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I know I have friends who are not into that, you know. So it's all what you like and being compatible, and get with somebody who's good with that. Don't get with somebody who, you know, likes to deck it out and, you know, likes to go out and shine, because you're going to feel insecure and you're going to feel awkward.
Absolutely.
Get with somebody that gets down like you. Or step it up, you know. Either way, be happy, whatever. All right, here's one more. Undermining your man by default. By default, some women are very good at talking their men down. Oh my God, this happens. So whenever the man walks up to her to share a dream with her, she starts giving him reasons why he can't do it or why he is not strong enough for the task. Men love women that will boost their confidence by encouraging them. Even if the task looks almost impossible to you, it is your duty as his woman to tell him he can do it. He has had enough tongue lashing from crazy drivers and all that while coming home. He doesn't need to hear more of that from you. Is that true?
Absolutely. Now, you want to be, you know, empowered by your woman. A man does. We always do. And especially when we do have a dream, or we have a serious desire, or something that we want to accomplish, you know, we do need that support. But I think there's a certain level of responsibility on women to realize that if your man is 50 or 40 or 35 and he's talking about a mixtape, find a way to bring him back down to earth subtly.
No.
You don't have to destroy it, but just let him know, like, hey babe, you're 36. I don't think you're gonna get signed to this label.
Listen. Okay,
oh,
I'm just playing.
Oh,
go ahead. Let that man do that mixtape.
No, hell no. Because look, there is a level of practicality that we do need. You know, however, if there's a way to reinforce it. Okay, babe, I see you're into hip hop, and you're trying to get signed to a label, babe. Babe, have you ever thought about producing or signing acts, because you rapping at this stage, there's always a way to not destroy a dream but reinforce a dream. It's just a matter of support. Men, they do need that support coming from their rib, coming from Eve, coming from home. Mm. She got your back.
She needs to let you know
that you're the best at it and you can do something.
Right.
But there is some
practicality. Yeah. Hold on. So we got this question, and hold on. Sorry, just went off the page. So Rhonda James, hi Rhonda, love Rhonda. She said, "How do you handle a man who has the dream? You encourage him, but he still has a ton of self-doubt inside of himself." I'm gonna say you can only do so much. For me, when it comes to dreams and purpose, I'm like real hardcore on that. You know, that's what I do is push people to follow their dreams. I don't believe in expiration dates on dreams and purpose. So I'm that's my philosophy. I've seen it and I know too. I mean, and even historically, most people had said, "Oh, you can't do it because of this and because of your age and so forth," and they did some of the greatest things in our history. That is the case. So I'm very careful to put limitations on people when it's their passion and when they have a desire to do it. But, you know, as far as what you're asking, Rhonda, if they don't have the belief in themselves, you can't force a person to believe in themselves. You can only infuse and try to impart encouragement and belief in them. It comes a time where if you're actually going to achieve that purpose, you have to tap into that belief within yourself and do it. Nobody can do that for you. It has to become that. It's that defining moment that you decide for yourself that you're going to do it and die trying. I mean, what do you have to lose? You're going to be miserable if you don't reach for your goals and your dreams.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
That's true.
So So I say, if my man says, you know, baby, I want to rap, I'm gonna be like, baby, I'm gonna be singing right there behind you. I'm gonna sing your hook for you. But we're
cute. Oh my gosh. Oh my.
I'll be like, get it, baby, go, get it. We gonna do this and look crazy together. That's what I'm saying.
but you know, and that's another way. I mean, listen. Now I would say this: when the dreams compromise practical life matters. Now, if he's 36 trying to be a rapper, and y'all struggling to pay the rent, and he's spending money on studio time, I'm sorry, bro. Listen, find something else to do.
He gotta hustle. You gotta hustle and sacrifice for your dream. If he's hustling and taking care of home.
Don't
shuck your responsibilities. You know, and I said this to young people. It's like, you know, you gotta be smart with your dreams. You gotta handle your dreams and your purpose with intelligence.
There you go.
But at the same, but it has to be a balance as well as taking a risk on yourself also. And there are those moments where you're gonna have to decide if you're gonna jump off that cliff. In faith and belief in yourself, and every great person who makes it, every person who has fulfilled their purpose has gone through that process where it didn't look like it was possible, people said it wasn't possible, and they said, you know what, I'm going to have faith in myself, and I'm going to do something that some people may look at and say is a little crazy, but I'm going to do this, and I'm going to invest and believe in myself. I'm all for that. But we're out of time, and we're like 2 minutes over, but it's good. We're gonna on next Sunday we are gonna flip it and talk about the traits that women hate about men. But before we get into that topic, there was like two more that I wanted to get your feedback on, so I'm gonna give you those two first, and then we'll get into what women hate about men. Ooh. I wonder if the list is longer. But I want to thank those of you for tuning in. Momwell, thank you as always, and we will see you, we'll hear you on next Sunday, right?
Absolutely. I'll be on time. I'm gonna be 2 minutes early instead of 1 minute early.
All right, thank you guys for listening. Make sure you get at us on Urban Conversation Radio on Facebook, and also follow us on Blog Talk Radio, Urban Conversation Radio. We will talk to you guys on next Sunday. God bless.